Let us pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, we are gathered spiritually today across many different states, across many different locations, in many different homes. And we come together to worship you, to still give you our praise, to honor you in all the things that you're doing, to trust you, to know again that you are God. And Lord, in this series, when we are talking about radical life, we are living that. And my prayer, Lord, is that you would give us grace in this moment, that you would give us peace in this moment, that you would send your spirit again to remind us of this relationship that we have with you. And as we hear today, Lord, about go and make this radical declaration, this radical commandment that you gave to the disciples, as we hear about that, Lord, I pray that you open our minds today, that you open our minds about how we're living this in you right now when we're called to be at home with our families. And so, Lord, let this be a radical day of faith. And we pray these things in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. I want to welcome you back to the neighborhood church, and I want to welcome you to our online community of faith. It was incredible last week. Last week, we saw an amazing amount of people on Facebook Live, and the comments, the conversation. As pastor, I've always hoped that Sunday morning would be a reality where people would communicate during the message, and that we could have that, and it doesn't exist on a Sunday morning. We get some amens, and we get some yes, and but that conversation is incredible. And so if you are on Facebook Live, we definitely want you to comment, say hello to everyone. We got our Kid City person on there today. We got our Warehouse Youth Ministry on there today. We got the neighborhood responding with communication. So we are there for you, and we want to hear your conversations. We absolutely love that. And it was great this week as we went through. I had a friend call me, and this is specifically about our online experience. And he called me up during the week, and he said, "Pastor Joe." And I said, "What's up?" And he goes, "Hey, I loved your online church last week." And I said, "That's great. I'm so happy that you were on our online experience. That's awesome." And he goes, "Yeah, it's great." He goes, "I just got a quick question for you." And at this point, I didn't know what was coming. I didn't know what was going to happen. And so he looks at me and goes, "Pastor Joe," he goes, "at one point during your online message, I had to get off online because I had to handle something in the house." And he goes, "Could other people see that? Could other people see that I left?" And he goes, "And if people could see that, is it like me walking out of church on Sunday morning?" And I said, "It's absolutely like you walking out of..." No, I didn't say that actually. I said, "It's not like that." I said, "No, people can't see it. Don't worry about that." But I said, "You do have to watch it twice this week as kind of repentance for that. You need to go out and see it twice." And but no, we love that you're here. We love that you're online. And church looks differently now. Church looks differently. And as we get into this go and make commandment, which we're going to read in the Gospel of Matthew today, I was thinking about that with church. I was thinking about that with how we've always said it with church. We've always said, go to church, go to church, come to church. And no matter how many times you said the church is about people, when we said that, and from probably speaking for many churches out there, we meant come to church, come to this physical space, come to the body of Christ and gather together. And it looks differently now. Go looks differently. But I think there are some benefits to online worship. I really do. And over the life of the church, I think I can nail down about three or four of those benefits. Here's number one. You get to control the volume. So if you've ever been in a church where you're like, "It's too loud, it's too soft, and I want to hear it more," guess what? You can press the volume button and get it louder. I'm a loud and proud kind of person. I usually talk loud. I get loud. I love that. I love the energy about it. If you like worship a little bit more mellow, guess what? You can do that. You're in control in online worship. It's wonderful. And that's not the only way. We've also said that we love that conversation during the message. And some of you, as I'm preaching, I've seen those looks before. We're like, "I don't know. I don't know about what he just said. I have a question." Well, guess what? You can actually pause that video. You can pause live and say, "I have a question." And you can talk to your family about it. Or you can, not that you should, but mute the pastor. You can actually do that during worship. If you got other things to do, these are things you can do in online worship. And I love the other statement that we've used. We've always used this statement that says, "Come as you are. Come as you are, just as you are to worship and come there." And that means something different now, because come as you are is in the worship and comfort of your home. And so what does that mean to you? That means I hope that you're gathered in the living room. It means that you're probably in your flannel PJs, which will be nice, and that you're sitting on the couch, and that you probably, my hope is that you have a Snuggie on. You know those blankets with the arms on them, that you have those on together? That is come as you are now, and it's absolutely wonderful. That's the joy of worship. Church looks different right now, and you get to have that be a part of your life in a new way. And I, for one, as pastor, think that's exciting. I think we're bringing parents back to the disciple makers and families back to discipling each other as God intended in our lives. That's the incredible part about this story. It's a really incredible narrative that you get to take control of your faith. And we hope that, but we're going to be here to help and guide you through that. And so we're going to get into some scripture today. We're going to get into some scripture on Matthew chapter 28, and this is at the end of Matthew. Now, this is going to be a resurrection text, and I know we're in Lent, so I'm just going to preface this by saying, I know this is a post-resurrection text, but I think in our culture today that we need some hope. Hope and prayer. I think that's very important. There's a lot of lives that have been changed, a lot of lives that have been lost in these last few weeks and months and throughout this year, all over the world. And so as we begin this message about Go and Make, I just wanted to pause for a moment and just have a moment of silence for those whose lives have changed dramatically because of the circumstances we're in right now. So let us pause for one moment. Thank you for doing that. So we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew today, and we're going to be talking about a text after Jesus is resurrected and he's come back to see the disciples. He's already sent the disciples to go and to tell the other disciples that Jesus has risen, and they're struggling with that. And the Gospel of Matthew jumps right to the last time in the post-resurrection that Jesus appears to the disciples, and it's right at the end of the chapter, end of the Gospel, and that's where we're going to be. But we love Bibles in the church. We absolutely love Bibles. Every Sunday in the church, we tell people to raise their Bibles. And we have everyone shout, everyone bring a Bible. So if you're out there right now, I want you to say that in your rooms or wherever you're at, right? If you got your Bibles, raise them up and say, everyone bring a Bible. That was fantastic. All right, good job. If you didn't participate, ask yourself why. But at the same time, we love that you're there. Kids, guess what? We want you to go grab your Bibles right now. Go back in the back room, grab your Bibles. Youth, go grab your Bibles. Go get them and bring them. And as you're doing that, we'd love some pictures. So get in the Facebook comment section on our Facebook live feed and share some pictures of you grabbing your Bibles this morning. I think that will inspire other people to grab their Bibles and change their lives of faith. You are in control of your faith right now, and you're going to be making disciples right now in your homes. Grab the word, have it with you. If you don't have this word, that's okay. If you don't have a Bible in your home, that's all right. What we want you to do is we want you to go to the Bible app, right? And we have a link on our website. We also have a link on Facebook comments that we're going to drop in right now so that you can link directly to the post for today. And it's going to have all your scripture. We even have on there a devotion right now by the Bible app that is on anxiety. And so it is seven key things that we see in scripture through anxiety. And I know that I'm there, and I know that a lot of people are there, and I would love to get some word around that. So jump into that 7-day devotional. It's an incredible way to kind of read scripture every single day. But you'll get notes on there, you'll get giving links on there, and you'll get more information as you go down. And we'd love for you to be a part of the Bible app community on that. And so we're going to open our scripture now. We're going to open our scripture, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to be reading the commissioning of the disciples. And so the commissioning of the disciples is really in verses 16 through 20, and that's right at the end of that chapter, end of the gospel. And we're going to break it up into some sections. We're going to break it up into verses 16 and 17, and then 18 and 19, and then 20. So here's verses 16 and 17. Here's what it says. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Let me read that one more time, verse 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Last week in our message, we talked about this pulling apart. We talked about this anxiousness in scripture. And it says, do not be anxious, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, give those over to God. And we talked about that anxious word meaning that to be pulled apart or divided or split. And you can go back and watch that on our live feed on Facebook videos and on our website. And as we talked about that, that's where we're at right now. We feel this pull again. And here's this pull happening again in scripture. This pull is happening where the disciples who follow Jesus, who are with Jesus and walking with Jesus, now know he's resurrected, have been told that he's resurrected, and they're going towards him, and they're going to meet him in the place he said he would be in Galilee. And they're getting there and they're worshiping, which literally means in scripture that they're on their knees. It's a physical act of worship. They're on their knees and they're lifting their hands to God and they're worshiping God. And in that same moment on their knees worshiping God, do you know what they're doing? They're doubting. And that doubting word means to go in two different directions in your heart. Now, let me ask you, how are things going? Do you feel pulled in two different directions? I think that's with everything. It's go out, it's stay home, go here, don't go here. It's kids at home, it's school online, it's work at home, it's having the family structure to go out, it's making sure that you get outside and you're safe and you take the kids on a walk, but that you're safe in your home, that you have the supplies that you need, but you're set for today. I think this going in two different directions, this doubt, I think that's just infused in us right now. And I don't think we can avoid it, so we have to embrace it. We have to embrace the worship and the doubt. Those are the two things that we have to do. And the disciples are doing the same thing. So that means that we're in the same mode as the disciples. But it wasn't only them. In this text, when it says that Jesus called them into Galilee to the mountain which he directed them, guess what? 500 other people were joining them. So if you can imagine the disciples and 500 people on their knees worshiping, and then also some believing but some doubting, and Jesus being there to say, hey, I'm with you right now. That's exactly what's happening. And we're saying the same thing as you as a church. We're saying that we're with you and we worship with you, but we also have fears. And those fears are difficult. And so what do we do? What do we do with our doubt? We have to go. And we have to make disciples. And we have to do that from where we're at. And the going and making disciples has to be and must be God-honoring. And you have the chance to do that not only in your life right now, but in the lives of others around you. Look what happens next in the text. So as it goes on in the text, it says this. In verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" Here it is. Jesus saying, go and make. Go and make. That's the commandment. That's what we're living into. And this Sunday at the neighborhood church, we were going to bring in and had scheduled to bring in from Africa, Ugandan missionaries as part of the Kibo group to speak here in a live interview for the people gathered on a Sunday morning. They were going to go from Africa to the United States, to Bentonville, Arkansas, to the neighborhood church to tell about their mission that they're doing with Ugandans to help out. And they were going to be here. That's a different go. And I think we're understanding that our lives right now, the go has been shifted. See, we were also going to bring a team this past weekend down to Tulsa to run the Race to the Well. And we were going to do the Jerry Can Challenge, which means that a 40-pound can of water over your shoulder that the Ugandans use to go and get water and bring it back to their villages. They have a 3.1-mile race called a Race to the Well, and you can do a Jerry Can Challenge. And we had a team set up, and we were going to run this challenge. And man, the neighborhood was going to win that challenge, I'm telling you. We were excited for it, and we were training. We were ready to go, and we were there, and then everything changed. The go shifted. The Race to the Well didn't happen. That night that we were going to be there after the Race to the Well, there was a big partnership dinner for Kibo because Uganda is one of our mission trips. It's one of our mission trips that we were going on this year. It was one of our global mission trips in addition to Cambodia and also Guatemala. And we had to have some tough conversations about what go meant this year. And so we gathered our global mission team this week and we sat with our hearts filled with mission and our hearts broken over where the world is at and our hearts in prayer over where people are at. And we sat as a mission team and said, we can't go in that way this year. And they can't go here in that way this year. And so we said, if we can't go in the way we felt God was calling us before, where is God calling us now? And the go shifted into God honoring. It wasn't going physically, which we make it so often. It was go spiritually. And if it wasn't go physically there, maybe our mission then is here this year. And our global mission team did something incredible. They said, hold on, why don't we switch this team into a local mission team? Why don't we reactivate this team towards everything in local mission, and then our key leaders on the global mission team will reach out across the world to our missions that we are going to go to, and we're going to ask them what they need. How can we equip them from here and send them supplies, send them finances? What can we do as a global mission community that's invested in global mission, but not going physically, but how can we support you? And we said, we can't go this year. Our goal looks different, but our heart is with you. How do we support you? And then the team said, but we will be here. And we're going to be here. We're going to be here for the local community and all of our team members, all 8 to 12 of us, sitting on a Zoom call talking about this and just pouring our hearts out, said, we're going to invest in this local community. We're going to invest right around us to care for those who are hurting right now. This will be our new go. And that's what this scripture means. It says, there go forth in all the nations. And we will. And we are. But we're also going here right now. See, we can change our go. It doesn't have to be physical anymore. I think we've so long held on to that our go in scripture has always been that we must do mission. And maybe the go was always meant for our heart. Maybe the go was always meant for our home. Maybe the go was meant for our family and the loved ones around us. And how do we go into their lives? How do we reach out to them? How do we make an impact? How do we share the love of God with them in every single moment? There is a new go that's happening, and it will be God-honoring, absolutely, in our life. So everything's changed. But I describe myself as an eternal hopist. I've always told people that if you give me an ounce of hope, I'm going to take it. I'm going to run with it, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to pull this out from here. And that means I'm an eternal hopeless, which means I look at this situation, and when my heart's breaking, I know in the midst of that, because I know Christ and because I know the promise of Christ and the promise of the Spirit, that my go can still be different, and it can still be beautiful, and it can still be missional, and that Spirit of God in each and every one of us will not be contained inside of a home. The Spirit of God is meant for everybody. So maybe it's time that we tried that. Maybe it's time that we tried the Spirit of God going out into people's homes, because listen to how this ends. So if you go back into Matthew, chapter 28, the last verse, verse 20, it says this, and I'm going to scoop back just a little bit in the verse so you can get a context around it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And remember, I am with you. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And remember, I am with you. And when I'm not with you, in John chapter 15, Jesus says this, and when I'm not with you, I will leave you, and I promise you the Holy Spirit. I promise you a Spirit that will be with you, that will stay with you forever until our return. So as those disciples stood at the base of that mountain worshiping Jesus and doubting at the same time with 500 other believers around them, and they worship, what they were hearing from Jesus is, remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age, and I won't leave you. I will leave you the Spirit, and I'm coming back for you. I have that authority to come back for you. Just remember that you have that Spirit with you. And go. Go therefore and make disciples. And I'm sure when the disciples and those 500 heard that go, they said, go where? What do we do? And Jesus looked at them. And in that same promise in John chapter 15, I want you to hear now. He said, don't worry. Don't be anxious. I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit, the one and the same Spirit that I was baptized with, the one and the same Spirit that descended like a dove when the heavens were torn apart in baptism. And God said, I know you, my child. You are my dearly beloved. So I say to you today, dearly beloved, you have the Spirit of God in your heart, and that will never be contained in a home. It will forever be contained in a promise of Jesus Christ, a promise that says that God is alive, the Spirit is alive, that Jesus Christ will come again, That's the promise that we live in. So my challenge for you is this. I want you to look at your go differently. I want you to look at your go and think of, how does my go and make disciples honor God? And how do I do that with those who are in my home? How do I do that in my own faith? And who do I need to reach out to that I know needs God right now and needs the Spirit of God that God has given me in my heart? That is going and making disciples. And that today is our mission and will be our mission as the neighborhood church. God loves you and we love you too. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, I hope you're enjoying us online. I hope that it's a great experience for you and that you're enjoying each week. We are definitely trying to create an incredible experience online. I just wanted to give you a preview of what's coming next week. We know that you're at home and we've been watching the things that are happening in culture, and we see some states that are saying, hey, we want you to stay at home. And I know that brings up that doubt, that anxiety, that kind of pulled up heart and that going in two different directions. And so next week, the message is going to be about faith at home, radical faith at home. And it's going to engage your kids. It's going to engage adults. It's going to engage the family together in faith. So if you're wondering how to do this faith thing at home, next week, we're preparing to help you with that. And we're going to do it live. And so we want you to come watch next week at The Neighborhood on Facebook Live at 10 a.m. But let us pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for spiritual worship. We thank you for the Spirit of God resting upon our hearts. We thank you that Spirit is not contained, that Spirit coming from Jesus Christ as a promise was left to us, left for us, and not for a moment, but forever. And Lord, so we go with that Spirit. Lord, and we realize that a home or a building or a church will not contain the life and ministry that you have called us to. And so, Lord, we are asking that you put on our heart, who do we need to reach? How does our faith need to grow? Lord, and if we need to be in devotions, if we need to be in the word, if we need to pray, reveal that to us. Because this is the time, Lord. We're discipling each other. The church could not do it alone. We need every family. So, Lord, pour into their hearts a grace upon grace, a hope upon hope, that they may know that we will grow through this together. And we will come out stronger in faith, stronger in God. And while everything is changing, we have a rock to stand on. A rock that is immovable. A rock that is our foundation. And that rock is Jesus Christ. So Lord, be with us. Our lives are changing. Comfort us. Send that Spirit. And challenge us to look at go in a new way. And for it to be God honoring. And we pray these things in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen.